God is good. All right. Welcome, everybody, to Voice of the Believers Church, Wednesday night edition. See all the smiling faces. Praise God. Daniel, you got a little blue on your face coming through that window. That's pretty cool. And green. It's green looking. That's cool. She's like she's been on Star Wars. Yeah. Hallelujah. All them coming through there. Praise God.
You know what I was thinking?
What was you thinking?
About telling them what happened at the jail all the men.
What happened? Tell me about it.
No, you need to tell them.
About the Muslim men?
Yeah. About all how many you had and what the... Tell them about it all.
She's helped me out. She's telling me what to do. And it's very good to help me here. Okay. I was going to share that I was off from work for good, but we'll do this instead. Or we might do both. Went Sunday night to the jail, the Franklin County Jail. And
how many were there?
Probably 20, between 20 and 25. Yeah. Don't want I want zero, but, you know, the ones are there, they're there. And, but one of them, they all raised their hand. I stood up on the pew. They got pews there, and I stood up on it because I could see all the guys. Said, now, how many of you are saved, raised your hand? Because that's usually how I do it. There's so many of them. And all of them went up, about 23 or 24, except for one. So, well, thank you for being honest and everything like that, and I said, appreciate that. He goes, well, I'm a Muslim. I said, okay. I said, well, we still love you in Jesus' name. These men over here, I tell these men that y'all, you guys, you need to love on this man, show him the love of Jesus Christ.
Isn't that awesome?
Praise God. And I left it at that.
But he stayed and listened to the whole teaching, didn't he?
He did. He stayed the whole teaching, the Muslim man, didn't he? Yeah. Yeah.
The
black man. He was a black man. But, you know, praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. That's wonderful.
In my testimony on the 11th of July, Monica and Danielle know, I put in my 3 weeks notice. I give them 3 weeks at the Air Gas Early Key. And my last day at work was last Friday. First day home was this past Monday. And I'm loving it.
We're still adjusting.
It's been
I love
hard.
It.
What? You've just been home for a day. Come on.
Well,
I've been staying out of both of y'all's hair, doing my own thing, working out, reading the Bible, trying to stay. There you
no.
go. Huh? Is that okay? I got to get permission from her. I can't have no strife from my family because God
we
said.
We might call you.
God, yeah, Daniel and Monica may call you to come pick me up, take you be fishing to get you out of there and stuff and everything. Oh, we're going to do the tithes and offerings.
Also, I had three women at the jail.
Okay.
Two of them been going there for a while. And one of them, she was kind of new, and she said, when I first started, she just started crying. And then by the time I was done, she said, you know, I almost didn't even come. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I came. So isn't that awesome?
Amen. Making a difference. Giving them hope.
Exactly.
Praise God.
Amen.
Anything else?
That's it.
Announcements. Not really anything. Sunday morning church, Monday night recovery.
Next Wednesday's evangelism.
Next Wednesday this time we'll evangelize. And I'll have more time to get with the Lord, find out where he wants to go and everything.
When did you say David was coming as you're going to be going or something like that?
The 17th and the 21st.
Okay, I knew that was coming away from
me. We're going to go see Jake and Megan, remember?
Nobody told me. Yeah, we did.
You didn't get the memo? You did
yeah.
not get the
memo.
Well, yeah, you're going to get up here and speak. Take up tithes and offering. You're gonna
do a welcome.
Do her part. Hey, you're the one that said power trip. What was it at the youth of the children's deal?
Oh, said, yeah, you could feel the power.
What was it?
With the microphone.
Yeah, the microphone. I'm drunk with power. That's what it was.
I don't want to think about it.
No, he's staying with you. He's your
bonded.
He's your bonded. You love that dog. There you go.
Here's my glasses.
Okay, now, boys, I'll talk about this later. Say nothing about the 17th and the 21st, about when we're gone. That way other people don't find out about it and show up on Wednesday night at the luncheon. You might want to talk to the boys
and
their friends about that. That way you don't have visitors, because something like that must have happened because they didn't know we were gone on the 4th of July. Then that Wednesday night, all of a sudden, the people showed up and just dumped their kids on you and everything like that.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure the boys don't say nothing to them. We don't have it happen to you again.
Right, and put that kind of pressure. Amen. Oh, okay, she'll be there. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about the offering.
All right, the offering.
Okay, we're going to talk about the offering. Everyone got their envelopes. And the Word of God has more to say. Did you know that the Word of God has more to say about finances than even of what it talks about heaven and hell? It's true if you look at it. It's amazing. Jesus said, trusting him with our money was the least use of our faith. And one of the scriptures that backs that up is Luke 16, verses 9 through 11. It says this. This is Jesus talking. He goes, here's the lesson. He gave it a lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. This is the New Living. Then when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. He said, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with the greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Right? If we can't even be trusted with worldly money, then how can he trust us with the things about heaven and the kingdom? You know, if we can't do that, that's how important it is. But before I go on, I want to talk a little bit about fraud in the body of Christ, some fraud. You know, we don't have TV anymore, but when I used to have TV, you'd see all these fundraisers on Christian TV, and it was kind of disturbing because they were using manipulation. And it made con men look honest because these are pastors and ministers of the gospel. But what was even worse than that, to me, was how it was working. Because to me it showed the immaturity of the body of Christ. Now, I hadn't seen it in a while. I don't know if it's still going on. And it showed how little they knew about the Word of God because they were able to be suckered into it, you know? I don't even know if there's a lot of it left anymore. But see, you'll know if you know the Word of God, you'll know if they're being honest or not. Isn't that true? So we have to know the Word of God for ourselves instead of just believe what everyone tells us. Isn't that true? And see, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That includes healing. If we need healing, we hear it about the Word, what God says about healing. If we need faith about finances, we need to keep hearing what God says about finances. And that's why God has us teaching and preaching to build up our faith so we can have faith in every part of our lives, because God wants the world to see his wisdom and his power in us. Isn't that true? And you know what? He said somewhere in Ephesians 4, but I don't know where, that he gave gifts to the church. You know what they are? Pastors, teachers, apostles, and prophets, so that we can grow up, get equipped, and get mature and unified in the faith. Isn't that good? And so we want to get strong in faith. And so the least of these things in the kingdom of God is how to use money. But God has a plan. And I saw an interesting little story in the Bible, and it's 1 Kings 17:9. And it says in the King James, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain you. Or God, go at once. He was talking to Elijah, I believe. Go at once. And I've directed a widow there to supply you with food. I've instructed a widow there to help feed you. Is that what it said? And you know what? It did two things. That came and did two things. One, the man of God was sustained during a famine. And two, that opened the door for that widow woman, for her need. She was so blessed, she had enough oil to last her the rest of her life. Isn't that good? Just for helping the man of God. Even though it was her last meal, she shared it. Isn't that good? So God prospers us to fulfill, first of all, his covenant. He made a covenant. And it's the blessing, Deuteronomy 28. And I love this is what it says. All the peoples on the earth will see you living under the name of God, and they'll hold you in respectful awe. God will lavish you with good things and a bunch of other things. Isn't that good? And he wants to establish his kingdom. That's Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember, it is the Lord your God. He is the one to give you power to be successful, the ability to produce wealth, gives you the power to get wealth so he can fulfill and establish his kingdom throughout the earth. Isn't that good? And he wants us to be able to help those in need. That's Ephesians 4:28. In fact, he's talking to person who was caught stealing and he got saved. He said this, and if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to those in need. Why? Is he trying to take one to help the other? He wants you both prospering. As an example, he says to those who have been stealing, stop it. In fact, go to work, do something useful with your hands, and then you'll be able to share those with in need. Isn't that good? We are to share. And we are to be able to abound for every good work. In fact, this is one of my confessions. I love this. Love it. This is the Amplified. And it's 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance and under all circumstances, and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to acquire no aid or support, and furnish in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. That's what he wants to do. Isn't that good? I say that every morning. Praise God. So that's God's plan. I think it's pretty good. Isn't that good? We get to be a part of that. Amen. I'm ready to act in faith now. Oh, Father God, I just thank you, Lord. Here we are, your people, Lord. And we give you our offerings and our tithes, and we thank you, Lord, that you're presenting it to the Father up in heaven, Father God, as our high priest. We thank you, Lord, we get to be part of your plan. We thank you, Lord, that your word promised that when we bring our tithes and offerings to you, you open up the sky vaults of heaven. You pour out a blessing so big there's not even room enough to take it all in. You said you would rebuke the devourer from touching our stuff and destroying the fruit of our ground, and all the nations would call us happy and blessed. We thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, you said that when we give, it'll be given full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men bring into our bosom. And so we thank you for that, and I just speak the blessing, the increase over every household here. In Jesus' name, and all who agree say amen. Amen. If you guys wouldn't mind taking that in, we're gonna do this as we worship and thank him.
Still know you are God. unrest my soul in Christ alone. Oh, yeah. No.
Sure does help get through this life, I promise you. And knowing the God, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Not just any old God that they make up, but the real God. We know when things change. We know when we got saved, things changed in our life. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, youth and children. 2016. Good job. She told you she'd keep me straight. 2016 is the year of the great breaking loose. Our youth and children can be released. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, yeah. The boys ain't no problem. They're the best ones, I promise you. Huh? Good. He's always thinking, isn't he? That's good. Thinking one step ahead. All right. We're going to talk about the whole armor of God, praise God. About putting on this armor, glory to God. Amen? Yeah. Well, let me pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, I pray for words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. And Lord, to flow forth, just to encourage them. Lord, Lord, give me illustrations and testimonies to flow forth out of me. Utterance of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord, everyone here, including myself, receive wisdom, knowledge, understanding, revelation of the Word of God. And Satan, we bind you up. You cannot steal the Word of God in Jesus' name. Everyone say amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let me get this up there where we want it. All right. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 6:12. That's where we're going. Ephesians chapter 6:12. For we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. In other words, you don't wrestle with Hillary and you don't wrestle with Trump. We're not wrestling with Hillary and Trump. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. Against spiritual host in the wickedness in heavenly places. And that second heaven up there is just above us in the atmosphere, them wicked places where Satan and his demonic just going forth and setting their plans up. How to Christians, trying to set Christians up to fall. trying to get them to fall, get them to fall into sin, get them to fall with their mouth and say the wrong things, whatever they can do to make them stumble, because you're made in God's image and likeness, and that's why he hates mankind. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus gives us life and life more abundantly, praise God. So, and we're not going after people. Yeah, I mean, you know, I was speaking over America earlier when I was praying and telling them what I wanted, and I'm binding up the devil, and that's what we got to do. That's what you got to forgive. I know it's sometimes, you know, you think of the kids in school and the teachers and things like that. And I remember one time Jake was in seventh grade, and one of the kids forgot to take his, what is that, makes you know, the people that get high, kids get hyper, they, I think it's a demonic deal myself. And they give him that medicine, HDHA, whatever it is. And he forgot, they didn't have the money to buy it for a week. And he come flying in the bathroom, and they were like seventh grade going into eighth, and he ran up there and put a knee right in Jake's thigh. And he hurt him bad. And he went down. Some other kids helped him and stopped it. And, I had to pray with him, and I had to forgive the young man. I want to go, I'd be honest with you, I want to go hit him with a bat. Yeah. It hurt my son, be honest with me. And he's what, probably 13, 14, same as that. But I had to let it go and keep saying it. You know, when the thought came back up, I rebuked that thought, I wouldn't hurt that person. I speak peace over that kid, and I pray for him to get saved in Jesus' name, and I forgive him. I kept having to do it and do it and do it. And I taught Jake that until finally he got over it and got through that at that time, because it was tough. And we had problems. Yeah, I had some teachers that we didn't like neither. We had to do the same thing. And we had good teachers. We had teachers that would, when Jake was in 10th grade, that was funny. She called me one and worked at Jackson Owens. She said, Mr. Schwebel, I'm willing. It was Algebra 2 or something like that. I'm willing to stay at my lunchtime and help Jake his algebra if you're willing, if you can get him to come there for his lunch. I said, he'll be there. He'll be there. I called Jacob and said, you're going to be there. If this young woman is going to take her time out of her day for the lunch in the lunchroom and going to teach you how to do algebra, my God, you're going to be there so you can get the passing grades, praise God. And he did, and he got through it, praise God. So there are some good teachers. So we're working with the enemies in the heavenlies in the second realm up here in the atmosphere. So we just got to walk in that forgiveness. We got to proclaim the word of God and bind the devil, praise God. Because we're at war. Once you become a Christian, you become a threat to Satan. And the higher you move towards God, the closer you move towards God and doing God's stuff, the more you're a threat to the devil. The more you're a threat. When you're believing God for mighty miracles here on earth, or let's say you're believing for God to finance the greatest revival in Los Angeles, California there ever has been, you're believing the money in for it, for God to provide for it. Well, the devil's not going to like that, because you're taking money out of his kingdom, out of the satanic kingdom, and it's coming to you, and you're going to put the money over there to get people saved. He doesn't like that, but oh well. He has to live with it, because God, through Jesus Christ, has made these spiritual truths in here, and we're going to be talking about those here in just a little bit, his truths, praise God. Let's look over at John chapter 10:10 in the Amplified. John 10:10. Nope, not the message. I want to go back one. Oh, that's, maybe I missed it in the Amplified. Okay. I got it in the message right here. Okay. John 10:10. A thief is only there to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's Satan. And I came so that they can have real, eternal life, more and better life than they've ever dreamed of. Real and eternal life. You can walk this earth by Jesus, the Lamb of God, with real, eternal life. Like heaven, heaven like on earth. Heaven on earth, praise God, type life. Better than you ever dreamed of. It's starting to get more and more real in my life. I've been doing this for 16 years straight now. I hadn't quit. Gone Mondays, since 2006, the last 10 years, I've been going Sundays, and usually I was going to that afternoon to a nursing home. Now it's jail since 2007. I'd have Monday night recovery Wednesday, and whatever other meeting I can get into. I was going as strong as I can, praise God. You know what? It's got benefits, like it said over in Psalms 103. Look at it now. It's getting better and better, praise God. That's all I want to do is work for God. Work for Jesus. All I want to do, praise God. Now, I can go out and have fun. I can go get my wife to a baseball game. I can go fishing. I can have that fun on the side, but I better be putting Jesus first, praise God, and keeping strife out of my family. Keeping strife away from my wife, praise God. Me and her, and praise God, and go have fun in the other places. You can have fun. It's okay. That's what God told Monica. She was at the jail, not this Tuesday, but the Tuesday before. He told her, he said, just get ready. You're fixing to have time. You're fixing to be able to enjoy your husband. And then she got excited about to have time to enjoy your husband, praise God. And that's good because we're doing everything together. I mean, we're just like the Copelands now, running around everywhere together. Like the Duplantises, you know, they're flying all over the place, preaching Jesus all over the place. And it's so much fun. I'm pumped up about it, hallelujah. I'm pumped up about it. I've been working since I was 12 years old, starting on a farm. I'm the last 36 years, I'm 48. From 12 to 48, 36 years, I've done nothing but work. And that's all I've known is getting up, you know, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning and go to work. And there for a while when I was working on a cattle farm at Cameron Hughes, it was 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365. It wasn't that long every day. We'd get some sleep. But it was 7 days a week. We're breaking ice on Christmas Day. It was just the way it was on the agriculture and farm. But thank you. Now I can work for Jesus and enjoy my life, praise God. Let's look over at New Living Translation of John 10:10. The thief's purpose. So he's got a purpose. The devil's got a purpose and Jesus has got a purpose. The devil's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them rich and satisfying life. Rich and satisfying life, praise God. They're gonna have rich and satisfying life. Isn't that good? Who wants to have a rich and satisfying life? I do, praise God. I mean, it's great now, don't get me wrong, but I want it even better for my relationship with Jesus, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with the kid, and then ministry and my friends, praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's look over Isaiah 59:15. The second half of Isaiah 59:15, second half of that verse 15. You know, God does something about it. Even though Satan had destined us to be doomed and go to hell, but God done something about it. We're going to see what God did. This the second half of Isaiah 59:15, verse 15, part B. Then the Lord saw it and displeased him that there was no justice. Verse 16, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He brought Jesus. I mean, he could see that we needed help. We needed help bad, really bad. I mean, even the Old Testament saints couldn't get to heaven. They were in paradise, Abraham's bosom. They could actually tell them the story of the rich man that died because and went to hell, and he could see actually Abraham. But talk to Abraham. But, you know, they were protected and taken care of. The others were down there in that fire and tortured and being hurt and everything. But he could see Abraham. And, you know, just to get those men and women that, like, what was her name? That one lady that was a harlot that loved, Ahaz, I forget her name. Anyway, she helped the Israelites in Jericho to come in there and got them out safely, praise God. And Rahab, I think it is. Rahab. And, you know, she was a Gentile. He didn't have, without covenant, she wasn't a Jewish person. God even took the Gentiles that would come to him, praise God. He would take anybody that come to him. Hallelujah. So, thank God for the intercessors. Thank God for Jesus that they're up in heaven, praise God. And now we got a place to go. And not only that is, Jesus, through that cross and what he did, you know, on the cross, through his body and his blood, he's made a way. That blood covenant in his body made a way for us to live saved, delivered from demonic oppression, healed, prosperous, and blessed, praise God. You know, we have to favor God on our life. I like that favor of God on our life. Thank God Jesus paid the price when we were helpless and hopeless. Thank God for it. We must remember and believe it. In fact, we should be winning every battle. We really should be. I really believe that. I've heard some people, we ought to win some battles, win some, lose some. No, I think if we really were close, right up there with the fruit tree, with Jesus, right up there with the root, Jesus, constantly, we'd win every battle. We wouldn't get mad. We wouldn't get, we'd win every battle the devil tries to throw at us to get us tempted or go the wrong way. It's possible. It's possible, praise God. I don't know of any human being that hadn't sinned or not been able to. You'll still have a battle, but you can still come victorious out of it. But the good news is Jesus won the war. Well, the whole war has been won. Now it's up to us. It's up to us by our spirit and staying in the Word of God to dominate this flesh to win each one of these battles daily, whatever they are. Whatever your battle is. We each got battles. I don't care if you're just a brand new Christian and just come off of being a drug addict and watching porno and everything else, angry and might have beat up people and violent and everything, or if you're as far as Kenneth Copeland or Billy Graham or whoever you are. We have all got things that we've got to watch in our life to protect us from, because the devil's trying to get us to slip up and fall in different areas of life, praise God. Everybody has to. Hallelujah. All right. Remember, Ephesians 6 tells us that we're fighting against Satan and his evil spirits. The Word tells us what to do about it. So what are we going to do about it? Let's look over at Ephesians 6, verse 13. We're going to see what we're going to do. Because I'm not going to tell you about the problem about Satan attacking. I'm not going to tell you that he's still killing, destroy, trying to do that. And Jesus came to give life without giving you a way to overcome it. I'm going to give you an applicable way of how to beat the devil and keep him under your feet. Jesus put him there, but it's up to us to keep him there. Jesus put him there, it's up to us to keep him there. All right, verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Sometimes we just got to stand. We got to stand on our confession. Stand on what we're believing for and praying for. Stand on it. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, thank God for truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, knowing we're righteous, having shod your feet with the preparation of the good news of the gospel of peace. Peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench the fiery dart of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. You notice those first ones were all defensive, protecting, protecting, protecting. But that last one was the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is actually offense. It's like Jesus said, it is written. It's when you just, you know, coming in your mind and you're casting down those thoughts and they're trying to keep coming back and you finally start saying, it is written. It is written, Satan, that you get out of here and you get out of my mind. I bind you up, get out of my mind, Jesus. It is written. I'm blessed coming in, I'm blessed going out, praise God. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich, he has no sorrow with it. Or if it might, that you might be just, he might be just trying to press you over something or get you in fear or something like that. And you fear, go. I rebuke you, fear, get off me in Jesus' name. I speak the peace of God over me. Lord, I pray to the Father in Jesus' name, thank you for your peace. Download peace in me in Jesus' name. It might be forgiveness. You had someone, like I heard Kenneth Copeland once talk about, he had his Cadillac way back in the mid-70s, I think it was. He got his stereo system stole out of his Cadillac. He goes, what happened was he got angry at a man and sinned, and before he could repent, he got his stereo got stole out of his Cadillac car that he was going out and preaching with. And so he goes, you know, before then he repented. You get up on your things go to slipping, you start losing the things that you've been believing for or have. You used to get up on your repentant bones real quick, praise God, for what, you know. And so he repented for getting angry at that man and had a bad attitude about it. And he had to repent about all that. Anyway, so he goes, you know what? The Bible says, give it, it should be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Some men giving you both. They measure meat with all it's measured to you. Give it, it should be given unto you. He goes, Lord, I'm giving that man my stereo system. Lord, I give it to him. It's his. It's his. If the police come to me, and the whole time Satan said, you can't do that. And he said, if the police come to me and said this was retracted back to you, this is your stereo system, I'll have to tell him no. I give it to him because I'm making a agreement between me. I'm giving it to him by faith. It's like I said, giving and giving unto you. I forgive him. Don't even charge it against him, Lord. But if they had to ask me about it, please, I'm saying it's his, praise God. And the devil said, you can't do that. He goes, I just did. And he, over a period, he said, over the next 24 to 48 hours, you know, in his mind, the devil would try to put anger about him, that guy stealing it and losing it, and he'd have to stay on those repenting. Nope, I repented already, and I'm to that deal, and I've forgiven that man already, and that man, it's his. And finally, after saying it is written and confessing the word of God, and that after about 24 hours to 48 hours, the devil just left him alone. And what was it about? He said he got done with that meeting, went back to Fort Worth in his office, and over the next day or so, there a package appears in the mail. And the people around the office are saying, whose package is that? Because they couldn't figure out what it was. They finally asked Kenneth, what is it? It's a stereo system. Because Kenneth had believed for another stereo system. Hey, it's a stereo system. And Kenneth goes, well, go find out if anybody in the office has ordered one. We don't know. So they went and found it all out, and no one ordered one. He looked at it and said, had Cadillac written on it, praise God. His car, praise God, brand new stereo system. God sent him one. It was a miracle, praise God. But you see what he had to do over that time, there's 24 to 48 hours, the devil was trying to attack his mind, still making him mad about what that guy did. He had to let it go, forgive him, and say, nope, it's his. It's his. It's his. It is written. He's quote the word of God. I give it to him. I give it. It should be given unto me. I give it. It should be given unto me. And he had to keep quoting it. Say, we got to do that when we're under the battle like that. All right, praise God. So verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, talking about praying in the Holy Ghost, being watchful to the end with all perseverance. Being watchful in the supplication of all saints. We got to be watchful, praise God. Watchful where the devil's trying to come in, into our relationships with the wives, in with our children and our friendship. Keep strife out because that stops the blessing. Strife's the blessing. Just like Monica says, if I can't go fishing, I'm picking her over anybody else, praise God. I'm not going to have strife in my family, praise God. That's how God blesses me, takes care of me, praise God. But when her and Danielle get tired of me, kick me on out, I'm going to go fishing, praise God. And there'll be times I'll say, you can go, praise God. She'll be listening to this, she'll be laughing, praise God. Hallelujah. All right, praise God. You remember, we got to resist that devil. Resist those thoughts that are against the devil. I remember Monica. We were new in this, so we really didn't know about the armor of God that much. Really didn't have any teaching that we've been into yet. It was back in 2002. We just got married, I believe it was. And Monica got some pain across her back. And she goes, it's her kidney infection. She knew what it was. And me and my great faith self and knowing how to pray, I know how to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. But then I laid hands and I said, I speak to those kidneys. I say, you're healthy and whole in Jesus' name. I rebuke and bind up and that infection. You get out of her body and kidneys, you go in Jesus' name. I say, she's all going to be gone. She'll be pain-free by in the morning in Jesus' name. Boy, from 8 o'clock that night to about 8 in the morning, she was in pain. See how I prayed that? It makes a difference how you pray. I was young at being a Christian, learning, and just what I said is what I got. By 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, she's pain-free. It was all gone. Because my faith was there. The faith was there, but the way I upset it. And she had to suffer all night long. I should have just prayed she was right then. She healed right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. She'll never let me live that down. She'll never let me live that down. That she heard all night, she said. James 4:7. James 4:7. I guess that reminds me of that one scripture, joy comes in the morning. I've never talked about joy coming in the morning. All right, if you get me to pray for you back 12 years, or well, 14 years ago, whatever it was, 14 years ago, joy came in the morning because I didn't pray right. I prayed for in the morning time. All right, James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That's right. We got to submit ourselves to God. We got to resist that devil. Whatever your deal was, and I'll be honest with you, I'm coming clean with myself. March, April, May, into right in that time, there's about a 3-month period, I got hooked on NyQuil for a little bit at night. I would take two of them just to go to bed, thinking I had to have them. Well, first it was in March because I wasn't feeling good, and I was praying on myself, buccinessing, and I was taking two at night. But then it got where at night I was just taking them just because, make me pass out. And finally I had to repent of that to the Lord, tell him I was sorry, repent of taking those, and I resist him. And after about a 2 or 3 day period, I said, nope, I wouldn't take them no more. 4 days, 5 days, gone. And I tried to come back about a week or two later. One other time, I think, well, but I resist again. So maybe myself, it was gone. Hadn't been taking them no more, praise God. So there's certain things I got to watch out for, hallelujah. Got to watch out for it. Amen. Got to watch out for sin and temptation. All right. I remember, I got to watch out for my mind and what I'm thinking about. I think of my pastor, Terry Sparks, and Family Life Church. There for many years, he took over that church in 2000. Through probably 2006 or 7, he said, somewhere in there, it was about five years or 6 years there. When he got done preaching, he taught good. It was just the devil. He teaching good how to believe and trust Jesus. And he said he would leave the church sometimes, wonder if he'd done any good. It's terrible to, you know, the oppression and depression that the devil tries to put on a pastor, trying to get him to think, did he do any good? And sometimes he'd be ready to quit. I don't have that trouble because I don't buy into that. As far as I ain't going to let the devil do that to me because I learned from him. Don't let the devil beat me over the head of that. I'm just taking it by faith that it's a good message, that you're getting a lot of it. You're learning how to trust Jesus. And I sure ain't going to quit, which he hadn't either. He didn't quit. He'd been going since like 1976 when he went to Christ for the Nation College up there. He ain't quit ever since then. He never quit, but it's just the thought that just tried to come in there. In fact, he's in Honduras right now. Him and his wife, they're doing some missionary work, praise God. So he's, amen. Let's look over to Hebrews 2:1. While you're turning there, you got to remember, Satan is always lying to us. He's trying to lie in books, TV. That's why they keep revising these history books, taking the truth out of them, revising them, taking the truth out of them. TV, music, schools, even some churches. Look at that, the one where the Book of the Mormon, old Joseph Smith made up. Well, come on, he's leaving the New Testament basically out of it, and just the Old Testament, and he added some stuff and everything else. You can have those many wives. Well, Jesus said God said man supposed to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. One man, one woman is what Jesus explained it to be. And here they are, they're teaching something different, you know. That's why you got to be careful, stick with the word. Stick with the word, praise God. Stick with what the Lord Jesus told us. Look over Hebrews 2:1. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest they drift away. We must give more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest they drift away. What have you heard? You've heard. You got to be fastened hold of the Word of God. I've always said this. Victories, anytime you've ever prayed for something, believe from God, you might want to write it down. That way you have a little notebook, and when you're believing for something else, you can go back, aha, look at here, devil. I believe for this. And I got it on this day right here. Look what I got, devil. Look what I got. Look what God done for me. He helped me pay this bill. He helped me see this person get saved. He helped me get healed there. You know, and you can write it down, any victory you've had, and, you know, have it at your house, whatever, and look back. Hey, look at these victories Jesus done. Look how good he's been to us, praise God. Hallelujah. Put them there with the promises of God. So don't drift away from these promises. Don't drift away from the Word of God. You got to stay true to them and keep them in your eyes and in your mind. Praise God. Very important. Very important. These truths, you know, we're going to get some truths here in a little bit if we have time. I remember one time I was over at Hugh Springs. I was dumping fuel. And of all things, here I am listening to some teaching tapes. And here comes the attendant. It's full service. So people pulling up there, and the attendant comes out, filling them up. And I'd reach over and turn it down because I didn't want him to hear me listen to things about Jesus. And you know what I was listening to by Kenneth Copeland? 7 Steps to Live a Fear-Free Life. You know what I did? I said, what are you doing, Lyle? I cranked it back up where I could hear it good enough. I didn't blast it where, but I heard it where I could hear it good enough. I turned it down where I could almost had to stick my ear up to the speaker because, what am I embarrassed about? Who cares? Turn it back up, praise God. Even the owner of the company the gas station come out and everything else. And, we talked about the Lord and everything like that. Praise God. So we got to, don't drift away from the truth of God. Don't drift away from these truths. And that's one of them, staying out of fear. That's one of them, praise God. Now stay in forgiveness, stay in love, stay in faith. All different ones. All right, let's look at Hebrews chapter 3:13. Hebrews 3:13. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin or hardened against God. We must warn one another. That's what we must help one another, praise God. Because if you're not careful, something can happen to your life. And if you're not careful, you'll blame God for it. And that's the worst thing you want to do. No, don't put that. That's what happened to Israelites. If you go back here sometime and study out Malachi chapter 3, where God talks about that tithes and offerings, it said after it in verse 11 or 12 or 13 that their words were harsh against him. They were harsh. They weren't believing God to take care of them. They were harsh against God. So we got to watch our words and not get mad at God. God's trying to get his truth and make these promises. They're already there. These laws, these promises are already there to be affecting work in your life. It's just a matter of us to believe them and to make them function in our life for them to work. Praise God. Just like whether it be salvation, whether it be healing, prosperity, whatever. They're there. They're truths of God. It's up to us to believe them and put them in our lives. Hallelujah. Don't be hardened by sin or hardened against God. That's why I always say one of the things I do in the morning, and I tell those guys at the Franklin County Jail, since they're new Christian, 3 times a day, get in there and do these confessions. Because, my gosh, you talk about uplifting. You talk about charge you up. When you take these promises of God, he is in me, he is greater than he is in this world. My God supplies all my needs according to his rich and glory by Christ Jesus, and all these other promises of God, and you say them out, and you hear yourself saying them, and you hear it, and paints a picture for you, and you see how God will take care of you and bless you, praise God, and it just strengthens you. It strengthens you in every way, praise God. Strengthens you. And I'm actually going to close it with this. I didn't get near done what I wanted to get done, but we're out of time. And I was talking about watch what you do and take heed to where you're at. Monica. Was it? It's been probably 6-7 years ago. She got to go in some meetings with some ladies on Thursday, prayer deal for about an hour. And they were praying around town here. And probably 2/3 to 3/4 of it was blaming God, or basically saying, well, they got taught, they got cancer. God taught them something. He's taught them something. He's shown them, he's showing them who's boss by giving them cancer and everything like that. And other things about, why they lost everything. Well, God's trying to get a hold of them. No, he just caused them to lose everything so he can get a hold of them and everything. I mean, they're basically turning around where God, trying to make God put him in place of Satan. And he's the one that's kill, steal, and destroy. And Jesus, instead, so who's the one that's going to give life and give it more abundant like Jesus was? It's got to be Jesus and God. It can't be. You can't make Satan's position where he's doing, put God in it, because God's giving life. He's not giving cancer. He's not taking people's finances away, trying to get you to live in poverty. He's trying to bless you, praise God. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich. He has no sorrow with it, And you would be surprised, because Monica knows these truths. And just after a month and a half of listening to that, because they're man's traditions. Why they can't see that through the Jesus healed them all, and he's an example of God. That's the God's will is people to be completely healed. Why they can't see, I don't know. I'm not going to get after them too much. But Monica had to get away from him after about 6 weeks. She was starting to lose her faith, and it was almost like she was going to blame God and everything. So we got to be careful with the company that we're with, or the truths of God that you've been given will be taken away. Of the Word of God will be taken away from you. They'll be sucked out of you because you're hearing too much of this other stuff. And all of a sudden, they'll come in man's traditions. They'll take and add to God's Word or change God's Word or whatever. Blot. There's some churches, some denominations that's taking whole chapters and just take their magic erase and blot it out. It's not for us anymore today. And the Bible don't say nothing about that. And they just zoop and just knocked it out. So we can't. So Monica had to get away from that because she was just getting in doubt and life was just going to go downhill quick that way. She's losing her faith in Jesus. And that's not the way to live. We got to be in the truth of God. All right, let's all stand. Praise God. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for your truths. Lord, let's just stand in your truth. Let's walk in these truths. Lord, we just love the truth because the truth's going to set us free. We're going to be set free in you, Jesus, and your love, mercy, and grace, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, you're teaching us. You're teaching us the truth. We humble yourself to your word. We humble yourself to your word. We humble ourselves to your word, Lord. That's what we're doing. When we say your word, we're humbling ourselves to your word and declaring your word, Lord, instead of what the world's saying and people are saying. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, if there's anybody listening by CD or voiceofbelieverschurch.org and say, hey, I need this good shepherd. I need this Jesus that can give me the truth. I can have this protection. I need this armor of God. I need help. Well, it's easy to get help just like that I did over there in Romans 10, 9 and 10. All you got to do is believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and raised back to the right-hand side of the Father and ask him in. You believe and you receive. You pray and ask him into your heart. And I did that. And Luke 11, 13 says you can be filled up with his Holy Spirit. Praise God. And I've done that. And if that's what you want, you can just pray along with me and ask him in. Ask for these good things. These are truths of God. Truths of God. They're in the Word of God. They're in the Word of God, and the Word will never pass away. All you got to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and raised back to the right-hand side of the Father. Show me your will for my life. Let me live for you all the days of my life. I love you. Just fill me up with your Holy Spirit. I turn away from the world and the devil and turn towards Jesus. Give my life to Jesus all the way, and I believe that you're the Lord of my life, and I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name. If you did that, that's a prayer of salvation. And then get on voiceofbelieverschurch.org and hit the prayer link and let us know. We'll be praying for you and encourage you. And we can send you some material on that. And find you a good Bible-believing church wherever you're at. Want to teach you the Word of God and faith, how you can trust Jesus. And teach us his truths and his word. Praise God. But Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for those people. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for everyone. Lord, I say that everyone here and listening, we're all the head, not the tail, we're the lender, not the bar. Bless coming in, bless going out, bless in the city, bless in the field. When Satan comes at us one direction, he has to flee from us seven, because he is in us is greater than he that's in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Nothing deadly will hurt us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment shall be condemned. We owe no man anything except to love one. Our God supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We give, and it should be given to us good measure, pushed down, shaken together, and running over. It should mean given to our bosom. Same measure we meet with us, but measured us again. Beloved, I pray above all things that I must prosper, be in health, and that soul prosper. Though 1,000 fall one side, 10,000 right hand, nothing deadly will come near us. No plague or disease will come near our dwelling. With a long life, he's satisfied. Thank you, Lord, for a long, healthy life. We take every thought captive under the beast, Jesus Christ. Casting down any and all thoughts that exalt self against Jesus. Thoughts of fear, worry, doubt, unbelief, discouragement, heaviness, condemnation. We say, you go. Get out of our mind. We just plead the blood of Jesus over our mind. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and revelation of your word. We'll go out here full of faith in your word. Full of faith in these truths that we're going to apply them in our life and use them in our life, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're just going to be there for others, Lord. Lord, we want to walk in your love, Lord. Just bring us to those people that don't know you, Jesus, that we can tell them about the good shepherd, Jesus, and what he's done, and we can lead them in that prayer of salvation. And those that do know you, Jesus, let us be that encouragement and light to them to not give up, to just like the army field, when a man goes down, we hook him up, and a couple of us will carry him back to our side, back to the safe side. Praise God. Be praying for him and lifting him up, Lord, and watching out for him till they can get strong again, healed, and get back in there and fight the good fight of faith. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.